Welcome to Uncurated Podcast, a show for visual artists and designers to share their experiences and learn from each other. I am your host, Kelly. On this podcast, you can expect interviews from extremely talented visual artists, designers, as well as engaging conversations about art and the creative industry, especially in Africa. Thank you for coming to Uncurated Podcast. You are so welcome.
Thank you, Alison. Thank you for having me.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Rogan Anjili, better known as Rogi. I am a multidisciplinary artist, art director, and I currently work for Science Communication, basically doing majorly 2D animation and design work, graphic design work. Yeah, that pretty much sums it. An all-around creative.
Okay, yeah. Nice. So just to confirm, are you Kenyan?
I'm Kenyan, man.
I'm just confirming because whenever I reach out to people on Instagram, like there's a corner about t-shirt, so I don't know. I just have to like confirm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so my name is Alison Kelly and I am an art enthusiast. So I love art. I love being around art, and I feel like artists have interesting stories to tell. So I record them and post them on podcasts.
Amazing.
Yeah, so my first question is, how did the interest start and were you ever trained in like an institution for animation or illustration or any of the multidisciplinary artwork that you create?
I never really had institutional training. It's more say, just picking as I go. I've been doing this illustration pretty much since I could hold a pencil or a pen. I think that's a common story for many artists.
Yeah.
And then I've just been participating in art ever since I was a child. I think the earliest public participation of art that I could remember was as early as 2001. I was pretty young, and I was doing things for school. There's this thing called the 4K Club. It's I think in Nairobi and many Kenyan schools, it's commonly known as the Environment Club. And that was the earliest memory of me doing public artwork. And since then, I just kept on doing it. Then I went off a little bit just to focus on my education, because I came from this predominantly African believing homestead where people just didn't really get the idea of doing art as a career, so I had to do other things and pretty much go back full circle so I can still be able to do the thing that I do right now. So just to go into it, I finished uni in 2015. I did criminology and security studies. I tried working in the field for almost a year. I got a job. And then I didn't see myself in that career or in that field, because either way, going into it, it was just a matter of the public scholarships that the government gives students. So I just went with it for the sake of going with it. So I just did it. Finished uni, tried the job market, didn't work out for me. Quit, joined art studios in Nairobi, that's Kilimani, Kwon Artist Collective, currently known as Kwon Artist Collective. When I joined in, it was just in the dying embers of Kwon Trust. Yeah, and found my community within that group. That's in 2017, did it till 2020. Then I formed my company, which does science communication, creative science communication. Now that's where I learned to do 2D animation predominantly and do science communication projects for organizations such as maybe let's just say research organizations. That's what I majorly do. I couldn't say I because it's a we right now. Apart from working for the creative science communication sector, I also do side projects with musical artists within the creative scene in Nairobi and Kenya, and even outside as well. So that pretty much sums to where I am right now.
Okay. So you work with musicians. Do you like, are you involved in the music or maybe the visual side of the production?
I want to say a bit of both, but right now I'm more in working with artists to develop their visuals.
Okay.
Yeah.
So animation or film and photography?
Animation, more of animation, yeah.
Okay.
To the animation, yeah.
So that's like an interesting direction to go. You working for research organizations to do like science communication, what sparked that interest and how did you decide to go that direction? Or is it like what the work that presented itself at that moment in time?
To be honest, it kind of fell into place with the things that I desired going into the mid-year of 2020. Because I was really battling with the decisions of, am I just producing work for myself? Or am I producing something that can be used for the future generations, for lack of a better word? And doing exhibitions here and there, they do have this social hype impact, but at the end of the day, it's just that. So I really wanted to have to do something within my field or my specialty that could be used more for educational purposes, more for awareness purposes. That's why I decided to go into it, because you find that many people within the science or research field, they have content that's out there for the public, but don't know how to put it out to the public for consumption. So I just saw the gap and I decided, okay, the first clients that we hit with in 2020 were, let me just mention it since it's out there, and they gave us consent as well. I go around to food and we did an animation short and did a social media campaign for them, doing animated reels and graphic content, let's say visuals that just depict the story. And at the time, they were doing a seed campaign. So we had to do visuals that depict the story of seed sovereignty and seed preservation. It's pretty much the whole narrative, and then I'll come up with a story and create a 6-minute short film for them that can be disseminated to the public. And yeah, that was one of them that we started with. Now we went on doing other work for researchers within the marine or maritime conservancy field. So we also did work for them. I've been doing work for them as well, producing calendar work, producing booklets for them, for their public outreach as well. And even pitched collaboration ideas to them, such as NFT projects, just to transition people into the Web3 world as well. Oh, I don't know if I've answered that question.
Yeah, you have. It's a very interesting direction to go for creatives, because most of the time creatives want to express themselves the way they want and they want to communicate whatever they want to communicate the way they want. But like, I'm thinking in your context, they would approve what communicates like their company brand and how they also want to be perceived. So you have to like fit into some, you know, some rules, which is really not a bad thing, but it's also amazing because you're helping them like communicate.
Exactly, because I looked at it this way, I'm not knocking on any organizations. I've interacted with, I have friends within these multinational organizations. I don't want to name them, all of them, but an example, like, you know, the UNs and whatnot. Yeah. I have friends within those organizations who come in to do pretty much the same thing that a lot of people here with the context can do. And most of the times you find that for them, it's more of a report writing that's really out of context or really not within the full context of what really lies or what goes on within the region or within the location. So why not tell stories myself of my region, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I decided just to go into that field. If we're now talking about maritime conservancy, if we're now talking about food sovereignty or seed sovereignty, why can't the professionals within this region just step up and say, now we're going to take up that task and not give it to someone else to come and tell our stories? And that's one. Two, because it's a gap. That's within the market. There's not many professional publications that are out there that have that creative touch, you know, especially when we're talking research or science research publications that are out there, even science research materials that are out there for the public. There's not much that's out there that's consumable to the general public in an easy way. So I say just to create creative commons to help people out there, to help bridge the gap between science organizations and the public in a fun way. And and the money as well, to be honest, because as a creative, I do, it's a labor of pain, it's a labor of love, and I'm not accustomed to the idea that artists should suffer. You know, I believe we should be thriving, and we should rid ourselves of this very complacent notion of we should be purists in what we do. We're allowed to actually go into the business side of things and see, okay, this is a thing that I can work for, and this is a thing that I work in or I express myself with. You see?
Yeah.
It's just creating that distinction. And I mentioned it very clearly when I introduce myself and my work. I usually say I am an art director, I'm an illustrator, but I work for science communication, creative science communication. So that's just specifying more on what I do when I'm describing myself. I believe that all artists should find within themselves to take up the responsibility of thriving within the disciplines and finding ways to thrive. It can't be that now you are the artist who's just stuck within that studio space, painting and doing whatnot, and expecting now at the end of the day to create this bulk publication that you're going to approach X, Y, and Z exhibition spaces to host you for an amount of period that you don't know you're going to get much out of given the end of the exhibition time. So it has to change at some point. You have to differentiate between what you make for your expression purposes and what you make for work. And so without even taking the luster from the creativity of self, just focus on creativity that's putting things on your table, in this case, food and money.
Just like you mentioned, a lot of organizations haven't embraced the whole like artistic expression or using visuals to communicate like a message. So maybe you can give some tips to like some illustrators who would actually like to be in the same position, but really don't know how to navigate that situation. So example, there's an artist who does illustrations and can do infographics and unique, maybe like cartoon, you know, illustrations to communicate what that company is trying to say. So how can they approach this organization and say, like, this is what I can do for you? And how would they go about that?
I would tell any artist to bear in mind that any organization out there that's seeking to go ahead in terms of the publicity or in terms of their reach to the public needs visuals. So it's a matter of them needing you more than you needing them. It's just that probably you haven't really determined what you're worth in within their situation. So in most times it's a matter of seeing what you can bring to them and actually convincing them that this can work and giving them exact examples. So if, even if there's none before, just proving that you can scale up whatever they're trying to scale up in terms of the organization with your visuals. So I wouldn't much say that it's a case of organizations still not adopting it. Yes, they haven't adopted it fully, but it's a matter of you as an artist, as you go into that, you shouldn't be thinking that, oh, it's gonna be hard for them to adopt. It's a matter of, do they actually see the need for this? How I'd probably approach an artist, not even an artist, more of a client, is I give them the drafts of other works I've done, and I show them the benefits of the work, and I give them maybe a plethora of ideas to go with it for the proposal, and I say that this is what the work can achieve, and I give maybe mood boards, and if I don't have samples of the work, I give them mood boards. And I gave them final products of what the work could look like by giving examples of other work as well. If you don't have, you can just share more of the proposal concept. Yeah, because many organizations will be willing to cave in if you more so believe in what you're doing and can provide sort of a final product for them, and not have them hustle to get maybe somebody to do an end production when you could have taken care of an end-to-end production yourself, or organized one end-to-end production with maybe a bunch of artists that you know within your circle. So to them, they look at you as a product or a service. To you, you go as an artist with your entire emotion and your entire ideas. And it's right, but at the end of the day, you should just see them as an opportunity in the sense of that's a gap and you haven't covered, and I'm worthy of filling that gap, and I can show you how to, and then negotiate for the price, I guess. I guess the negotiating is the first bit for your worth, because many artists don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I just say sticking to knowing your worth.
You have like a distinct style, I feel like. So yeah. What inspires your style? Oh, and how did you develop it? Like, did you try different styles, or is there like one thing that was inspiring you? Then you drew inspiration from that thing and then grew. Like how did this style develop?
I'll be frank, I just stumbled upon what people now consider as my style. Because it wasn't up until maybe a couple of years, maybe even up until a year ago, that I got used to hearing, you know, you have a particular style of work. Yeah? And then now looking at my work, I still see this one is different from the other, but people still say that they can identify my work when they look at it, despite how I draw it or I illustrate my work. I'm guessing that the amount of sketches and amount of paintings that I've created are insurmountable. So I couldn't really say where and when I picked it from. So I just sketch as I go. I guess the thought process that occurs over, I'm able to track the thought process that occurs over time when I'm sketching, that initially the thought process that I'd have would be, okay, sketching from a reference idea or reference ideas that give me inspiration. So if it's a color, I would probably sketch out the character and switch out colors. Then I stopped now sketching out similar characters and switching out colors. Now I went into studying because no one really taught me this. So I had to just go around doing whatever until I figured it out. Then I relied pretty much on PDFs. YouTube, did anatomy studies. At some point, I really wanted to know why my image is not really taking shape as I wanted. So I just went to anatomy. Then there was a phase in my mind, I was thinking all about illustrating the things that are in my mind. So I would sit down, decide today and think hard, what am I thinking, what has been the thought that's been recurring in my mind today. And I try as much as possible without reference to just sketch directly. And now laying the principles and foundations I've learned so far, because along the way, it's all about the memory that you store. So I've been having the memory of maybe anatomy studies that I've been taking from the illustrations, because it's all about the memory that's stored in your head and also in your hand. So each time I'd be sketching over and over, I'd just be repeating the same thing. Maybe it's anatomy classes that I took. And of course, I go as per the study, but I also have this stylized effect that I put to my work. I think about now going as per the book and now breaking outside the book, because I wasn't really taught as per any book. It was easy for me now just to break the style and go to whatever stylized effect that I wanted to with my art.
Okay, so you basically just trained and experimented and stumbled mm-hmm. upon the style that you mm-hmm. have now.
Yeah, I putting in the hours.
And what about the bird that you always repeat in a lot of scenes, actually?
He just came about. I was one time visiting my grandma, and there's this bird in our tradition, or rather in my mother's tradition, it's called the Chebagakwa. My mom is a Nandi, and that bird is common. It's a common taboo bird that you can't really mimic. They say when you mimic the sound of that bird, your ears are going to bleed out. You're going to bleed out of your ears. Mm-hmm. So it's been this bird it's sort of a haunting figure, because I'd not only see it when I visit my grandmother's, but I'd also see it whenever I'm in Nairobi. So I'd just be maybe leaving my house to go to the studio. I just see that random bird on the road in the morning. It's probably raining and it has this very black. The actual bird, what do you call it? It's an ibis. Mm-hmm. But you see the ibis, they're different, they vary. There's the ibis which is common within the Egyptian symbologies. But now there's the ibis that's within East Africa. I think it spreads out across Sub-Sahara. But the one that's in Kenya and I believe East Africa, the East African region, is black in color, and its plumage on the side of its feathers has this purplish greenish tint. So it flies, but it likes to walk all the time, which is weird. I kind of took a liking to it and drawing it, or I just started sketching it. But then again, when I started sketching it, I just started attaching a character to it, which is more of an alter ego for not only myself, but it's perhaps the intuitive selves that I see in people, or that I pick up when I have these interactions with people, you know. So I just use him, or I just use it rather. It's sexless. It's sexless, but I use it rather to have expressions, raw expressions of what people really feel.
Do you have NFTs?
I do have NFTs.
Okay, so what's your experience, pros and cons of having NFTs?
Kind of feel like it's an entire story.
book, like of an experience that you've had.
Book I could write about this, but the long short is yes, of an experience, rather the experience I've had within the decentralized market. But the long short is NFTs right now are not what NFTs are going to be in the future. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's more of the early adopters who are having fun with it. In terms of sales, I have made 3 sales so far ever since I put out my NFTs, but it's quite insignificant to any particular achievement that I foresee or I see for myself. It's more of an approval of, okay, this thing works. But the idea behind it right now is mainly focused on community and hype as per what I see it. Because many projects that I've witnessed come to fruition and succeed have all been based on the community factor behind it. Apart from the utility factor, what the NFT project offers, because now that's the thing that people look into it. It's all about hype. Yeah. If you're not providing anything worthwhile in terms of utility, you know, it's all about hype. If you have the numbers, if you can have Discords, if you can have Twitter spaces, all about it, get the numbers, break in the numbers, and then maybe have drops to the public. Because once the hype is there, it's easy to form traction on the internet. Now people are hiring marketing teams to do the bidding for them. Guys in India are on overtime, to be honest. When I got into it, I was so hyped because just for the fact that now I'm learning or now I'm engaging with the decentralized technology, you know, giving artists a fair chance of putting their work out there and no gallery determining who or what your work is, you know, what the price is. Now Elon Musk can just go and I'm just shooting for the extremes. Now Elon Musk can go on platforms such as OpenSea or Rarible and just click on your item and pay $1 million for it. And then all of a sudden, all of your work is sold and you go from $0 to $1 million overnight. You know, it's that kind of thing that's still happening right now. So people are taking advantage of it. But the pure value of it is the utility that it offers right now, for now. But why I say it right now, it's not going to be what it is right now. It's because I see the value in the blockchain technology. I see the value more in the tokenization of blockchain technology, because this can now be used vastly for many things.
Okay, so are you still putting out NFTs, or you're just like waiting and seeing and gauging how it's going fast?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm not actively putting out NFTs, but for the ones that I've put out, I think I've had maybe 3 projects so far. One featuring a maritime conservation theme. Put out a few pieces. I didn't sell any out of that. It's the random pieces that I sold out of. And then I put out the alter ego pieces for the bird that you see on my IG page. I've had the 3 sales from that one. And then now the third project is just a randomized project that I've been doing. And I've just been putting it out pole pole. Why I'm not active is because I do realize the need for pooling resources when you're going to build NFT projects. So be it working with developers, be it working with publicists and whatnot, if you're trying to create hype around projects, you know, and maybe working with organizations now on the ground that provide the utility for your projects. You know, and for Kenya, it's just the stars are the limit, because the capacity here or the gap here is really wide. And that goes the same for African countries. We're just a bit of capacity, and it's just time for people here now to see the projects that are potentially yet to come.
Yeah, I feel like that's why conversations like this are important for other people to listen to, because you have like a completely different perspective on NFTs and the blockchain. And because I've interviewed a few artists on NFTs, and everyone has their own experiences and how they view it. So yeah, that's why I feel like it's very important for other people to talk about it and just like share. So yeah, on your personal projects, which one is like your most favorite? Which one did you just have like the best time working on? Maybe it could be like an animation you did for a musician, or maybe like a personal project that's online that we have seen. Or which one is your favorite?
Honestly, the best ones are yet to come.
Okay.
I could say there's one that I'm working on right now that's good. I'm collaborating with a few artists that are yet to drop the album.
Mm-hmm. Are they Kenyan or
African? Yeah. It's a couple of artists in Kenya, and yet to drop the album soon. I've done the artwork. I've done the logo. Yeah, and I'm yet to see the visuals for the art, for the album artwork release, and the merchandise as well, because there's gonna be lots of merchandise for them. And they're a good group. Yeah, they're a hip hop group, let me say that. They're not even hip hop, it's an Afrofusion group. Let me say that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when are we anticipating this drop?
God damn. June, I'd say June. I wouldn't want to mention the names to put so much pressure on them, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So the best one is coming out in June. The one you enjoyed the best, the most.
Nah, I wouldn't say that, because I'm also working with a fashion designer in Nairobi right now.
Ooh.
And yeah, to do visuals for him. He's popping right now. Him is popping. I'm keen to see what he's gonna put into it, because he also has his own artistic touch to things, and it's a good collaboration.
So you're just helping him like illustrate?
Yeah, I mean, it's a collaboration of sorts. I'm doing the illustration and design work. He's doing more of the fashion design work.
Oh. And
seeing how it all comes together.
That's fun. Oh my God, your life sounds interesting. Anyways, so my final...
it sounds
really fun.
Shit, man, I wish it was that fun. I mean, it sounds fun because I'm probably working with creatives, but at the end of the day, it's, you hear sleeping at 5 a.m. in the morning, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, work is work.
On a Sunday night. But yeah, it's all fun when you see the product, when you hear the coins in your M-Pesa, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. So for you, at what stage of your creativity do you enjoy? Is it like the process, or the end product, or like the beginning ideation, mood? Because for some people it's actually different. So for me personally, I used to be an interior designer, and I do some graphics work. So for me, the part that I enjoy the most is like the brainstorming, the ideation part, where I'm just like coming up with ideas and other people are just like chiming in and giving me ideas. I really enjoy that because it like opens my mind. So for you, which stage of your creative process do you enjoy the most?
Yeah, I'd want to say the brainstorming bit, or when the idea lands, you know, that spark, that light bulb that just goes in your head. That's when I'd say that's the climax, but I also have a plateau phase where I can still enjoy it when I'm producing the work. And then when I put the last touch to it, I release it. And then I watch it maybe for a few days, maybe for a month if it's a big ass project. I keep on watching it. And then the realization that, damn, it's really good. So I guess, yeah, it goes in phases, with the climax being the light bulb phase.
If someone wanted to reach out to you for a project or to collaborate or something like that, how would they find you? How would they reach out to you?
Boom. We have a website. It's Bado Black. That's BadoBlack.com. BadoBlack.com. You can reach us out on there. You can reach me directly on my email. That's roganangili@gmail.com. That's roganangili@gmail.com. Or my social media, which is my IG, which I predominantly use. That's Rogan_X, ROGAN_X. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much my contact information is on Instagram. So hop on my Instagram. That's Rogan_X.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. I will put everything, all his contacts on the description. So
thank you as well. And props to you, Alison. One of a kind for doing this.
Thank you so much. And you're welcome back to the podcast anytime if you have interesting stories to tell. The podcast is open.
Sure. Maybe the next time I have a drop or something, I'm going to come.
So thank you so much and have a nice day.
Okay, you too. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. This has been Uncurated Podcast. We will be uploading a new episode every week. So follow our Instagram page, uncurated.podcast, for updates and more fun creative content. Enjoy the rest of your week.